things that we are forgetting today. We are forgetting to maintain the gentle, simple sincerity of our inward lives. We become hysterical, we become nervous, defeated, anxious, too opinionated. We are critical and we gossip and we work all kinds of schemes on each other and exploit one another to the end of time. But behind it all, just as behind life is purpose, so behind all human emotions is the cultivation of divine love, the love by means of which the individual sacrifices all else for the fulfillment of the divine destiny for which he was intended. So there are two persons locked within us. One, as Goethe says in Faust, to the earth aspires, and the other to the heavens aspires. And this is our problem. We are locked in conflict between two standards of life. This miserable standard that we have made for ourselves and can no longer endure, and a divine standard which is available if we will earn it, reveal it, or let it manifest through us. So the problem we have now in the 20th century is which way are we going to turn the energies and powers which we have? Are we going to follow those who go into tyrannies of one kind and another and try to create a reform by killing half the population? This is simply a desperate effort not to achieve a reform, but to achieve a maintenance and continuance of what we desire to do. Everywhere where it hurts, we are wrong. But we do not know how to be right without sacrificing the smaller part of ourselves. Well, as we go along through life, we find the smaller part's hardly worth saving anyway. That part which is important is the dream, the hope, the faith, all of these attributes which Julian attributes to the deities. It is only when we form a kind of partnership with the divine that life begins to smooth out and we begin to know where we're going. So we have a big job on our hands because in the last 10,000 years we've made a series of very unpleasant mistakes. And if we do not do something about them, we will be in more trouble. But in the last 2 or 3 years, perhaps the last 5 to be more inclusive, there has been a gradual realization among nearly all human beings that we are in trouble, and more furthermore, that we are the cause of our own trouble. Every day now come the deluges of reports, the evidences of chicanery in every act of business and life. We read of nothing but mistakes and tragedies and deceptions. It is gradually coming home that this thing which we built ourselves, this car of juggernaut which is rolling over all of us, is something that is not even real. We are not being attacked by a mass of facts. We are being attacked by a mass of delusions, by strange feelings that are not redeemed. Education is not teaching us the things we need to know. We are mistaking the good life. The good life to us is another yacht. But with the yacht, we get more trouble than we had before. Everything that we do that is contrary to law causes us more unhappiness ultimately. So our present course is a very wise, long-range, and careful construction of misery. We are doing all we can to do it wrong. Now, this is not at all necessary, but we do not know which way to turn. Various religious leaders are not in particularly good condition at the moment either. There are all kinds of trouble. In what direction can we turn for truth? Julian answered, turn inside. Go into yourself. Now, a lot of people will go into themselves probably and be rather disappointed. The inside will not be as attractive as they hoped it was going to be. It's going to be more like a neglected house with all its parts falling to pieces. But it's still the only road. We have to go in far enough to touch reality in ourselves. There is no other place where we can reach out and touch it. We can't touch it with any sensory perception. All we can see is shadows. We cannot touch it with books or laws. We can only gain from these encouragement, inspiration, and some consolation in the search for what we need. Yet we must find it. And the great problem of today is to find ways to get deeply enough into ourselves to find in ourselves the peace of the Great Mother, the Mother of Mysteries, the Virgin of the World. This particular concept is an internal value. Christians speak of Christ in them as the hope of glory. It is certainly also true that all of the divine parts of life are within us. Every good thing has a polarity in our natures. In us is hope, faith, peace, love, and charity. These are all inside. And no matter how hard we try, we can never find on the outside a substitute for these moods and modes within our own natures. We have to find the good that has been there since the beginning. We must find the peace that comes from sharing our lives with the infinite purpose of divinity. Yet not knowing just how to proceed in this matter, there are ways in which we can try to gain a little more insight. First of all, with our objective faculties, we can come to one important negative conclusion. The way it is now is wrong. This we are not going to be able to debate very successfully. It is wrong, we know it's wrong, we wonder what we're going to do about it. So, knowing that it is wrong, we must do what we can to change it. Knowing that it is wrong, we also know that it is possible to compound the felony. We can continue to do the thing wrong, and because it hurts a little more as we do it, we will continue until we reach a state of agony. We are not going to solve any problem by the use of methods that have failed since the dawn of time. We will never find peace in hate. We will never find peace in war. We will never find peace of mind and internal happiness in lives cluttered with a variety of self-pities and jealousies and ignoble actions. The Greeks had good deities, and the Babylonians and Chaldeans had what they call the daemons. A daemon was not a demon, that was a later invention. A daemon was a spirit. It was a spirit, a good spirit, that came to each person at birth and remained with him all his life. And when he died, the daemon led him into the afterlife. But this daemon was a kind of a familiar spirit. It is very much what has been perpetuated in the Catholic Church as the guardian angel. It is a sort of a friendly spirit that protects us and does for us things that it can to make life better. Now, to discover the guardian angel, we have to begin to be kind to it. We have to be kind to principles. We have to be appreciative when good things happen. We should try it in every way possible to take advantage of opportunities to be of service and of value to each other. All this is a beginning, but it is an end to one thing, namely that we will learn that we cannot talk ourselves into a state of grace. We cannot legislate the world into peace. We have got to discover a level within consciousness itself which is peace, and transform our world into that level. We are on a great ascending arc. We have to go up a step in order to get out of what we're in now. To go up a step, we must be a step better than we are now, or we'll never make the step. However, there's always this other answer. Nature is not destructive. Nature has no intentions of destroying us or allowing us to destroy ourselves. But nature is perfectly aware that when we are wrong, we must suffer in order to learn why we are wrong. If we break rules, we must suffer from having broken those rules. But it's not necessary to break the same rules every day. We do not have to do the same things all the time. Now, today we have another problem that is considerably worrying many people, and that is the strange attitudes that some religious groups are taking. Religion is being, to a certain measure at least, exploited. And to this also we find difficulty. Religion belongs to God. Religion is the Blessed Mother of Life. It is all things that are necessary. Religions do not have to be all alike on the surface, but they are all alike in substance and essence. Therefore, religion is a way to light. And if this is exploited, it is another very serious disaster in human affairs. We are doomed to find trouble as long as we have ulterior motives, and these at the present time seem to dominate most of humanity. So we have all these different problems to work with as we try to clear ourselves of the problems and the miseries that we face today. We have the strength to do right. We always have the strength. But we have so impoverished our own self-confidence that we no longer believe in ourselves. We no longer believe in the things we are trying to do. We have reduced life to a problem of work and vacation, and that's all. So now we have to rebuild this whole thing. Every individual is important. Every person carries within himself or herself this spark of the divine. The world mother is in all of our hearts. It is in all of our instinctive, inevitable reactions to suffering. When we see suffering, we are moved. Something happens. And when great problems arise, we feel a deep sense of participation in the world's tragedy. So all these deep inner feelings must come out. They must come out to the surface where we can work with them. There is no need in this world for hunger. There is no need in this world for the devastations of war and politics. These are all due to a strange kind of negation, which is partly mental and partly physical, but no part of it is spiritual or belongs to the powers of the soul. The soul is the eternal peacemaker. And there is a kind of mysticism which we have to understand. This mysticism was very strongly taught in Alexandria, the great city that was the mother of mysteries, and also the seat of the worship of the great goddess Isis. Here there was a distinct realization that just as long as the world is as it is, humanity, commonly considered, and together, will not be immediately or instantly transformed. But more and more will come to the little door that leads out of the present problem into the beginnings of ultimate solution. In Egypt, this door was the mysteries. And in every religion has a mystical content somewhere in it. The Sufis of Islam, the Zen of Buddhism, all of these are mystical groups beneath the surface of a religion, seeking to understand more about the great mystery of life. All of religion points toward the victory of the soul over circumstance, but we do not as yet fully understand or recognize the procedure. So today we also have mystical groups seeking to go deeper, seeking to find the solutions to things. But in order to achieve this, the individual must make certain adjustments in his own life first. He cannot take a great burden of mistakes into a mystical setting and believe that he can put his burdens all on the Lord or something of this nature. The great principles of life are not burden bearers. They are those that remove all burden. So we have to begin to find ways to bring individuals into greater enlightenment. We have to find ways in which average persons take resolution to do better, to become more involved in the great mysteries of divine regeneration. And we know that in the beginning of the 17th century, the mystics got together in Europe and created a universal reformation. this universal reformation is part of a plan. It is part of a realization that the time was at hand for the revealing of the mystery of the transmutation of life. That the time was here in which there must be a major step forward in the history of humanity. In order to be able to accept and discipline the various manifestations that have developed, there has to be a higher integrity. While we were all farmers, it was different. While we went out in the morning and plowed and came home tired at the end of the day, it was different. But now we live in a very complicated system, getting worse every day, with eternal temptations to the abuse of power. In everything we think of and everything we do, we're seeking advantage for ourselves at the expense of others. This tremendous piling up of discoveries, inventions, formulas, patterns, codes, and systems is bringing us to this edge of spiritual bankruptcy. The only way to escape it is not to try, as some have done, to break it down with bombs or something of that nature, but to realize that the only solution to it is to advise and invite individuals to seek deeper within themselves, to find greater values in themselves, and to realize that there is an answer. Now, as it is now, more people are beginning to realize that there are answers. We are coming to the point where it is obvious that we have exhausted the ability to make mistakes with impunity. We've come now to the point where we must suffer from our mistakes. And in order to do this, we must also learn something. To help us to gain or regain peace of mind, to regain the home, to build honest friendships, to do those things which are the common good and beauty of mankind, we have got to get together and work out the solutions. If we don't, we will continue in this strange and mysterious difficulty. We will discover that the human body also is involved in this. The pressures and conflicts of the mind and emotions are endangering the outlook of people as to daily matters. In other words, our imaginations are becoming sick. They are sick because we are corrupting them. And because of this, again, we are losing a valuable factor or faculty to help us to do the things we want to do. So we might take for a few minutes then a view of the Neoplatonic tradition and the Platonic tradition of Proclus of Athens, which were behind Julian in his concept of life. Plotinus was probably the greatest mystic of the ancient world. He was a person of incredible integrities. He was very wise in many things, but wisdom was not his course. It was not wisdom that he was cultivating. He was cultivating the arbitration of all differences of human minds and thoughts. He wanted us to realize that we will never be happy in this world until we stop thinking how important we are and begin to earn importance by our own codes of action. To Plotinus, religion was service. It was the giving of self to neighbor and to God. It was constant consideration for the sufferings of others, a constant willingness to modify our own courses of action, and by accomplishing this way the common good. Now, Plotinus pointed out that it begins with individuals. There is a person here who becomes less selfish. There's a person somewhere else who learns to control emotions and temper. There is another reformed rascal of some kind who has discovered the importance of virtue. Little by little, all over the world, these groups are increasing, and they are today, very definitely. Little by little, we are losing the interest we once had in our own personal achievements at the expense of everyone else. So Plotinus said, there is only one journey, and that is the journey inward. There is only one truth, and that is in the soul, and the soul is at the apex of our own existence. Therefore, to sit back quietly and cultivate the powers of the soul, will give us the strength and the courage to do the things that are necessary. And what are the powers of the soul? The powers of the soul are to see good and to serve good. The powers of the soul are to turn against corruption. Powers of the soul are to seek peace in ourselves and moderation in our own conduct. By degrees, the individual can relax away from the pressures of the day and find instead the peace that surpasseth understanding. To Plotinus, therefore, the rule was very simple. He was a father, a husband, and a citizen. He believed in his home and protected it. He had no shallow or false beliefs over-influenced by the fallacies around him. He lived as he should have lived. He was so respected by the Romans when he was in Rome that they made him mentor of their children. And many noble families used him to perpetuate the will of their states. He was able to become a tremendous citizen, teaching the children to respect their parents, teaching the parents to respect their children. Teaching everywhere by example, a quiet life, peacefully lived, without delusions of grandeur, and gradual freedom from the great impulses of mistake from which we all suffer. Plotinus was fully aware that wealth must go. You can never solve our problems on the level of wealth. He knew that all ambitions that were inordinate must grow. There is only one ambition that can live, and that is the ambition to find our way home again to the divine power. Until these things become available to us, we must try every day to call upon the soul for assistance. When we are not quite sure of a decision, keep quiet for a minute and ask inwardly what the decision should be. And after a while, you may note that some very good advice comes from the soul, though it may not agree with the will of your mind. It is good, however, to give the soul a chance, to give it the opportunity to direct life wherever possible. The more opportunities you afford it, the more times you give it leadership, the better a person you will be. And so it goes through the whole gamut, and above it all is the mother of mysteries. The mother waiting for her children to come home, waiting for the children she bore to honor and protect each other, and also waiting for the fulfillment of the great mystery of life, namely, that we shall all become part of a great maternal-paternal hierarchy of divine beings who must be the lords and masters of creation. Every creation has to be created by those who have found the heart of things, because everything that lives must live because of the laws of life. And the laws of life are the very things that we are breaking today. Now, just a little quiet sympathy about it won't change the course of history. But if we do decide in our own way to be a little more thoughtful, a little more kind, a little more generous, a little more tolerant, we will find gradually a new tranquility comes into ourselves. I know a case quite recently of a very bad case of hysteria. It was under treatment for a long time, and at the end of the long treatment, it was still very difficult, because this hysterical person was clinging desperately to an unfortunate past. They had never gotten over the sufferings they believed were unfair. Yet anyone with any perspective could see that they had caused their own trouble. But they couldn't understand it, because all they could do was remember what they had suffered. And they were very unhappy. But finally, they got hold of an idea that came from a mystical group of the importance of blessing disaster. Every time something hurts, say, God bless you. It was a funny little thing to do. But every time it happened, it seemed to transform a hate into an acceptance. And in a few months, the lady got over her trouble. But she had to, first of all, recover from maintaining a destructive attitude. The one thing that locks us away from the virgin of the world within ourselves are locked attitudes. Attitudes that we can't change because we have lived with them too long. Almost everyone has damaged their lives in some way by fixations of attitude. There is no need for them. Fixations are on a lower level. If we transform that level, if we rise above it, if we achieve a significance greater, this fixed attitude fades away. And most fixed attitudes lie on misrepresentations or wrong interpretations of circumstances. There is no need for them, and we have to outgrow them. Now, if we're coming into an age of matriarchal leadership, in which women are going to become tremendously important in this life of our humanity, let us not permit them, or let us pray, that they will not fail in one of the grace dangers that is presenting itself. A woman like Isis, like the mother of the gods, is a soul being. Man is a soul being also, but her soul is peculiarly developing sense of value and arbitration of difficulties. The soul of woman is a redeeming soul, a soul of love and tenderness and compassion, integrity, value, protection. The average woman is the embodiment of protection. This is her natural instinct from the soul power locked within her. She is dominantly the mother of mysteries. And it is hoped, beyond all possible hope, that in this case, in our present case, she will not become too involved in the existing patterns that are wrong, but will, with true dedication and understanding and insight, will help to restore the link between the mind and the soul. If this link to the soul is achieved, the mind will then function properly. And the link to the soul by which the mind can accomplish this is through love, graciousness, kindness, understanding, compassion, and the gradual expansion of the mother soul concept until it embraces all life, all need, and all problem. This is what is really necessary at the moment. We have souls locked in us for centuries. Incarnation after incarnation, we have not been able to free ourselves from the lock we have placed upon our own consciousness. This lock must be unlocked. The gates must be opened. And the great flood of love, which is built into our archetype, must be allowed to come through and dominate and affect us in a proper manner. It is therefore a great deal to say that we must begin to build not a woman's world, but a soul world, with her guidance and with the constant cooperation of all who understand the truths of life. It is now time for the laws to give place to love. And as long as law is not one with love, there will be tyranny. But law and love, working together, can fulfill the mission of the ages. So let the man be as virtuous as he can. Let the woman love with the soul power that is locked within herself. And this soul power will never be perverted, never be abused, or never be misused, because the mind power has been averted. The mind power has been misused. But above the mind, ruling the mind, and dominant over the mind is the soul. And while the soul is good, the world will live. And the soul cannot sicken, but it can be locked for a long time before it can come through. The victory of soul over circumstance is inevitable. It's just that we put off the good times by unnecessary conflicts within our own nature. Let's try to work to bring the good, the lovely, the love, the beautiful,
and the Mother of Mysteries more closely into our daily lives. Thank you.